This week's Parsha is Parshas Toldos. In the beginning of Parshas Toldos, we see that Rivka and Yitzchok cannot have children. They pray to Hashem to have children. Rivka Imenu becomes pregnant, and the pasuk says, "Vayisroitzi abonim bekirba." The children became agitated within her. Rashi gives three different interpretations on what "vayisroitzi" means. The first interpretation, Rashi says, that it means crushing, that she felt her insides being crushed, therefore she went and asked Shem ben Noach what is going on. Then Rashi gives a different interpretation from the Medrash, which says Vaisroitzetzu is from the language Ritza, from the language running. Rashi explains that when she was passing the entrance of a yeshiva, of a place of Torah study, then Yaakov was running to come out. And when she was passing a place of Avodah Zarah, Esav was getting ready to come out. She didn't know she had twins. She couldn't understand a child should have this dual characteristic in him. Mefarshim make a cute comment. Mefarshim ask that Gemara in Nida, Daf Lamed Amed Beis, brings that when a child is in the mother's womb, the child is learning with an angel the whole Torah. And when he comes out, the angel hits him on his mouth and he forgets the whole Torah. So comes out that inside the womb, the child is learning Torah, that every mother has a whole Beis Medrash inside her womb. So the question is, why does Yaakov want to come out, is running to come out when he passes a house of study, if he's already learning inside the mother's womb? According to the Gemara, he's learning the whole Torah inside the mother's womb. Why does he have this desire to come out? They give two answers. One answer they give is that since the main purpose of Torah is to put it into practice, Yaakov cannot wait to come out in order to be able to put into practice what he learned. The main purpose is limol velasois, to learn in order to do. So therefore Yaakov, as soon as he sees a house of study, he wants to come out and put it into practice what he learned, or he wants to relearn and to be able to put it to practice. The other interpretation they give is that if you have a chavrusa, a learning partner, as Esav, Esav is such a corrupting force upon a person that if you have such a learning partner, even if you are learning directly from an angel, you are required to come out, you are required to run away. The influence that a bad learning partner could exert upon you, even if you have the greatest teacher, if you see that your learning partner or your chavrusa is bad, you shouldn't justify it that since I have this great teacher, let me have this learning mate, which is a bad influence. You are required to go away and run away. Then the Mefarshim ask, I understand that Yaakov can't come out because Esav is blocking the way. Esav is the one that's sitting by the door and he's ready to come out first. So therefore Yaakov cannot come out because Esav is blocking it. But when they pass by a house of idolatry, it says that Esav wants to come out. What's preventing Esav from coming out? Why doesn't Esav just come out? The Mefarshim answer that Esav, even though he has this huge desire to commit idolatry, but if he could spoil Yaakov's Torah learning, he will stay inside. Esav is very content at sitting, but he is mostly content when he could stop somebody else from making a mitzvah, from making a good deed. Therefore, even though Esav wants so much to worship idols and to go to the house of idolatry, but if he could stay inside and spoil Yaakov's learning, he will stay inside. And the third interpretation Rashi brings is from Yalkut Shimoni Kof Yud Aleph 111, where it says that Esav and Yaakov were fighting for the inheritance of both worlds, that Yaakov eventually decided to take the world to come, and Esav decided to take this world, but at that point they were fighting, from the word Ratzatz, which means actually fighting. The children were fighting regarding the inheritances of both worlds, this world and the world to come. let's pick up now when the children are born, which is chapter 25, pasuk number 25. Vayetze horishoin, the first of the twins came out at moini red, kulo kader seir, completely like a hairy mantle. Vayikru shmoi Esav, and they called his name Esav. Rashi is bothered that the pasuk says in the plural vayikru, that they called them in the plural. Rashi asks, who are they? Rashi answers, hakol koroloi, that everybody called them Esav, because he came out completely done. Rashi explains that since he had such long hair as a child that is a few years old, therefore they called them Esav from the language complete and finished. The pasuk continues, V'achechein yoitze achiv, afterwards came out his brother, V'yadoi oichezes ba'akev Esav, and his hand is holding at the heel of Esav, V'yikrash moi Yaakov, and he called him Yaakov. Rashi contrasts right away with Esav being called in the plural Vayikru, and Yaakov being called in the singular Vayikra, he called them. Rashi asks, who called Yaakov? Rashi gives two different interpretations. The first one, Rashi says that Hashem called him Yaakov, and the second one, that Yitzchok, Yaakov's father, called him Yaakov because of holding on to the heel. The Kli Yakor explains that the word Esav means that a person that is already fully made, that he has nothing to accomplish in this world anymore, that he is already using all the characters, all the physicality of this world. A person is created already using his senses in this world. The only thing that a person develops later is his intellect and his wisdom, where he could use for work of Hashem, but all his physical attributes are already created in this world. Since Esav is a person that is only interested in this world, it is considered as he has already been fully created. Therefore, they call him also completely made. My Rosh Hashiva, the Vinerov, in his Sefer Ezer Miyuda, brings the Bech HaShmul al HaTorah, which asks the question, if the idea is that Esav is completely done, then Esav's name should be Asui, made with a Yud. And the other question he asks, Yaakov was called Yaakov because he was holding on to the heel of Esav. Then Yaakov should have been called just Akev. Why you call him Yaakov with a Yud? So he answers that since Yaakov was holding on to the heel of Esav, which meant that he's taking the last letter from Esav's name, that since Esav's name was supposed to be Asui with the Yud, and Yaakov's name was supposed to be Akev, but Yaakov is holding on so strong to the heel of Esav, therefore they took a letter out of Asui and they gave it to Akev, symbolizing like one is taking even part of the name of the other, that Asui now taking out the Yud became Esav, and Akev now taking the Yud from Esav became Yaakov, that the name themselves symbolizes that one is taking from the other, that Yaakov is taking the Yud from Esav. The Vinerov also asks a question, and he says that the Chasam Sofer's question, why by Esav it's written the plural that people call them, and why by Yaakov it's written only that he called them in the singular? If everybody saw that he's holding on to the hill, they should have said that everybody called them. If people were there when Esav was born to give him the name, then why didn't they give the name also for Yaakov, because Yaakov was holding on to the hill? So he answers that you could give a simple interpretation. You could say that there was nobody present when the children were born. The names were given only afterwards. Therefore, since everybody saw a couple days later that Esav is complete, then everybody started calling him Esav, this person is a totally made. But nobody was present at birth, so nobody actually saw that Yaakov was holding to the heels of Esav. Therefore, only the father could call him Yaakov, or only Hashem could call him Yaakov, because nobody was present at that point. Then the Vilna Rav gives a beautiful interpretation why the name is called Yaakov, based on the Gemara in Menachas Daf Chof Tes Amud Beis 29b. There the Gemara brings the Pasuk in Yeshaya chapter 26 Pasuk 4 that says Bitchu b'Hashem adayat, trust in Hashem forever, ki beka Hashem tzur olamim, in Yah Hashem created the world. The Gemara says it's kind of redundant because it should have just said trust in Hashem, because Hashem created the world. Why you have to say ki beyutke Hashem tzur olamim? Why you have to say again that Hashem created the world with Yah, with yutke? The Gemara says that it wants to teach you what Rav Yehuda bar Abelai expounded. He says that yutke Elu shnei olamos shebara kodesh baruch hu. These are the two letters that Hashem created the world. Echad behei, one world was created with a hei, ve'echad beyut, and one world was created with a yud. Ve'ni yodeya, and I wouldn't know im olam haba beyut v'olam hazeh behei, if the world to come was created with a yud, and this world was created with a hei, or or this world was created if a yud, and the world to come was created if a hey. Basically, the Gemara is saying that the Pasuk is saying that I should trust Hashem because Hashem created this world and the world to come with the letters yud k. The Gemara says I still don't know which world was created if a hey and which world was created if a yud. The Gemara says that since it's written on Bereishis Chapter 2, Pasuk number 4, Ele told us, Ashamayim va'orez behi baram, these are the products of heaven and earth when they were created. If you take a look, the hay is a small hay. So to tell you, al tikri behi baram, don't say that when they were created, translate behi baram, that Hashem created this world with the letter hay. So it comes out, if this world was created with the letter Hey, the world to come was created with the letter Yud. So according to this Gemara, Olam Haba, the world to come, is created with the letter Yud. And since we mentioned before on Rashi Vaisroitzetzu, the third interpretation of Rashi, that the children were fighting, that Yaakov or Esav were fighting for the world to come or this world, and we mentioned that Yaakov chose the world to come and Esav chose this world. After Yaakov was born, true, he was supposed to be called Akev, but Hashem wanted to symbolize that he deserves the Yud because he chose the world to come. Now he's called Yaakov because the Yud symbolizes the world to come, because Yaakov chose the world to come instead of this world. Therefore, Hashem added the Yud to his name. And he explains that afterwards, on chapter 27, Pasuk 36, after Yaakov gets the blessing and Esav finds out, then Esav gets upset and he says, Achi kara shmo Yaakov, is that the reason why he's called Yaakov? Vayakvenu ze pamayim, and he already cheated me twice. And Rashi explains that this is a question mark. That is that the reason why he's called Yaakov? And the Chasam Sofer is bothered. Why you mean that is the reason he's called Yaakov? Yaakov is called because he held to the hill, like the Pasuk says, that since he's holding to the hill, that's why he was called Yaakov. And the Chasam Sofer gives there a different answer. But nonetheless, the Vilna Rav wants to say, according to what he just mentioned, that the Yud symbolizes the world to come, Esav was complaining that why is he called Yaakov and not Akev? If Yaakov symbolizes that he chose the world to come, then why did he take my bracha? If you take a look at the bracha that Yitzchak gave to Yaakov on chapter 27, pasuk 28, Veitin lecho Elokim, Hashem should give you mital hashamayim, from the dew of heavens, umishmane oretz, and the fatness of the earth, veroiv dagon, vesiroish, an abundant grain and wine. There is no bracha for spirituality, no bracha for olam haba. The whole bracha is for olam hazeh, for physical benefit. If he took olam haba, then how come he also took my bracha here for olam hazeh? He shouldn't have taken my bracha, because the bracha only involves physical gashmius things, and that belongs to me and not to Yaakov. Therefore, Esav is asking, why did he call himself Yaakov? He should have called himself Akev. According to what we mentioned, that Esav's argument was, since Yaakov decided to take Olam Haba, how come he took his blessings of Olam Hazeh, of this world? The question then becomes really, how come Yaakov did take the blessings of this world? He divided already with Esav, and he agreed to take the Olam Haba, the world to come, and not this world. Then, if the father is starting to give him blessings of this world, he should have told him that I don't want to take the blessings of this world and not take the blessings. The Chasam Sofer actually gives an answer which works for this question too. The Chasam Sofer explains that Yitzchak wanted to give a blessing for this world for Esav, because Yitzchak knew of the division between Yaakov and Esav. Since Yaakov decided to take Olam Haba and Esav decided to take Olam Hazeh, this world, therefore Yitzchak, when he was going to bless Esav, he wanted only to bless him with the things of this world. And then, by the way, according to this, we could say that the yud that was given to Yaakov was actually given by Yitzchak through Ruach HaKodesh. When Rashi gives both interpretations, one, that HaKodesh Baruch Hu called Yaakov Yaakov, or Yitzchak called Yaakov Yaakov, we could say that both of them called the Yud, like the Vinerov says, because the Yud signifies the world to come, and Yitzchak also knew of the agreement that they both made, that Yaakov will take the world to come and Esav will take this world. And therefore, according to Chasam Sofer, Yitzchak wanted to bless Esav with this world because that was part of the deal. Then how come Yaakov took, or what was the mistake of Yitzchak? The Chasam Sofer explains, what does it mean that you divide something with somebody else? If we are equal partners, then it means like that, that I am willing to give up my portion on that item in return for you giving up your portion in this item. For example, let's say I have a property here in Florida and I have a property in Los Angeles, and I have a partner in both things. Then I could say, I'm willing to give up my interest and title on the property in Los Angeles. In return, I want you to give up your interest and your title on the property you have here in Florida. Like that, I will get the property in Florida clear, and you'll get the property in Los Angeles clear. But what happens when you don't have the property in Florida? When you have absolutely no connection to the property in Florida, then my giving up my rights to the property in Los Angeles lacked consideration, lacked payment, because you didn't pay me anything for my giving up the property in Los Angeles, since you didn't have any rights on the property here in Florida. And if a person would make such a deal, you would be considered an illegal deal, a mekach toz. Therefore, if I gave up on the false pretense that you had part ownership in this property, it was a mistake, was a mekach toz. It was a deal done by mistake, because in actuality, I didn't get any consideration or compensation in return. Therefore, the Chasam Sofer explains, then when Yaakov made his deal with Esav, Yaakov thought that Esav is giving up his portion of Olam Haba in return of Yaakov giving up his portion if Olam Hazeh. But as soon as Yaakov found out that Esav doesn't have any portion in Olam Haba, that comes out that Esav doesn't have any consideration to pay for him in return for his portion in Olam Hazeh. Therefore, the deal is void, because since Esav doesn't have any Olam Haba to give to Yaakov, therefore Yaakov didn't get any compensation for him giving up his Olam Hazeh. Therefore, the deal is void. And that was also Yitzchak's mistake. Yitzchak thought that the deal was a valid deal because Esav has at least a certain portion of Olam Haba, therefore he is able to give it up as payment for his portion of Olam Haza. But in the end he doesn't have a portion of Olam Haba, then he can't give anything up. If he can't give anything up, there was no compensation, no consideration given to Yaakov for his portion Olam Hazeh. Therefore Yaakov is entitled also to Olam Hazeh. Another answer we could give, how come Yaakov Avinu was able to take the bracha that belongs to Esav, even though previously he had made a deal with Esav that he is going to take Olam Hazeh, the world to come, and Esav is going to take Olam Hazeh, this world. We could say it with another perplexing medrash on this week. The medrash rabbah on this week, on the pasuk on chapter 27, pasuk number 19, where Yaakov Avinu is coming in with the food for Yitzchak. Yitzchak asks, "Mi ato bni?" Who are you, my son? And then the pasuk says, "Vayomer Yaakov elaviv." Yaakov tells his father, "Anoichi, I am Esav bechorecha." Esav is your firstborn. The Medrash Rabbah says that he said, "Anoichi shasidim bni lekabel haTorah shemaschil banoichi," meaning that my children will eventually get the Torah. They start with Anoichi. The Aseres Adibros, the Ten Commandments, start if Anoichi Hashem Elokecha, I am Hashem your God. Therefore, I deserve the bracha. And this is exactly what Yaakov told Yitzchak when he said Anoichi. Therefore, I'm saying to you now, Anoichi, that merit is the merit that I deserve the bracha. And to explain this further, we have to go to the Sefer Simchas Oregel on the Agoda, on Brachas Amozen. There he asks a question from the Rishonim. He asks our famous question, but regarding Brachas Amozen, how can we bench on the food that we eat? We know that Yaakov or Esav divided themselves, that Yaakov is going to take Olam Haba, Esav is going to take Olam Hazeh. Then every time that we enjoy ourselves with food, we technically are taking part of Olam Hazeh. Then how can we make a Berachas Amozen, a bracha on that, when it's technically considered a mitzvah haba b'aveira, a mitzvah that is done with a sin? Since the actual food that we take comes from the portion of Esav and we do not ask permission, then technically we are stealing from Esav. Then how can we make a bracha on something stolen? And Mefarshim explained that the worst thing a person could do is he makes a mitzvah with an avera, because you could do tshuva from avera, you could repent on a sin, but you can't repent on a mitzvah. Therefore that mitzvah is always screaming to Hashem, I'm a mitzvah done through an avera. So how is it possible that we should bench, make a bracha achroina on eating, when technically the Olam Hazeh belongs to Esav? Sefer Simchas Oregel gives an answer. He says that the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, Dav Gimel Amud Aleph, brings the Pasuk Yirmiyahu, chapter 33, Pasuk 25, which says, "Loimloi berisi yoimon v'loilo," if not for my covenant of day and night. We're going to soon explain what covenant that is. "Chukoi shomayim v'ores v'samti," the statutes of heaven and earth I would not have established. And the Gemara explains that means to say, if the Jewish people would not accept the covenant, would not do the covenant and learn the covenant day and night. The covenant means the covenant the Jewish people signed in Horeb, to learn the Torah and to observe the Torah day and night, then the statues of heaven and earth Hashem would have not have created. The Hashem would have destroyed heaven and earth had the Jewish people not accepted the Torah. And the Gemara continues, a famous Gemara, V'omar Rav Shimon Belokish says, "My dichsiv, what is the meaning of what's written, Vayere Vayvoiker Yom HaShishi, there was night, there was day, the sixth day." That's in Bereshit chapter 1, Pasuk 31. It's written HaShishi, where the other days of creation is written Yom Echad, Yom Sheni, Yom Shlishi, third day. It's not written the with the hay. It's written third day. There was night, there was day, second day. There was night, there was day, third day. It's not written the third day. The only time it's written the is in the sixth day, HaShishi. So the Gemara says, Melamed Shisna Kosh Borcha Masa Bereshit, Hashem made a condition in creation that if the Jewish people accept the covenant on the sixth day of Sivan, when Hashem gave us the Ten Commandments, then good. Veim lav, if the Jewish people won't accept the covenant, won't accept the Torah, Ani achzer eschem, I will return you letoyev avo to nothing, which means that if the Jewish people would not accept the Torah, Hashem would have destroyed the world, turned the world to nothing. Comes out according to this, that had the Jewish people not accepted the Torah, then the world would have been destroyed. If the world would have been destroyed, then all the Olam Hazeh, all the physicality of the world, would have gone with that. And the Gemara in Masechtos Bava Metzia, Daf Chav Daled Amud Aleph, brings down that anybody who saves from Zuto Shel Yam, from the flood of the sea, then it belongs to him because the owners gave up. In other words, if the sea floods and takes out property, even though the owner has a siman, still the property belongs to the whoever finds it, whoever saves it, because since the owner wouldn't have had anything regardless, therefore you entitled to that property. So it comes out that the Jewish people, after they received the Torah, now they actually are saving the whole world, which the world would have been destroyed had the Jewish people not accepted the Torah. Then they are technically taking from ownerless property, even though it was originally Esau's property. But as soon as Edom did not accept the Torah, like it says on Parshas Bozois Habracha, on chapter 33, pasuk number 2, says Vayomer, says Hashem Misinai Bo, Hashem came from Sinai, Vezorach Miseir Lomoy, that Hashem first asked the Bnei Seir, which are the children of Esau, that they should accept the Torah. Rashi says clearly, Sheposach Livnei Esau, they started asking the children of Esau, Shekiblus HaTorah, they should receive the Torah, Veloi Ratzu, and they didn't want. As the minute they didn't want, they forfeited their right for Olam Hazeh, because had everybody said no, then whatever they had would have gone ownerless, would have been destroyed. Therefore, when the Jewish people accepted the Torah, then the Jewish people are like they are saving it from the sea. So once they are saving it from the sea, therefore they are allowed to keep it. And now that we could keep it, then we are legally required to make Berachas Hamazon benching, because now it is not stolen from Esav, because this is rightfully our property. The only one we have to ask permission now is for Hashem, and therefore it's not considered anymore a mitzvah habab avera, a mitzvah that comes from a sin of stealing, because it is not stolen property, it's technically ownerless property, because Esav forfeited by not accepting the Torah. According to this, we could answer our Midrash and also answer another question. We know that Yitzchak is getting ready to bless Esav, but yet we don't find Yitzchak saving for Yaakov Abrocha. How come Yitzchak is not saving for Yaakov Abrocha? According to this, we could say that since Yitzchak knew of the deal between Esav and Yaakov, that Yaakov chose for himself Olam Haba, spirituality, and Esav chose from himself Olam Hazeh, physicality. And regarding spirituality, we have a rule which is written in Masechtas Brachas, Daf Lamed Gimel Amud Beis, Hakol Bidei Shomayim Chutz Mira Shomayim, that everything is in the hands of heaven, besides fear of heaven, besides how you're going to serve Hashem, your spirituality is all in your hand. You have a chance to enhance your spirituality or lower your spirituality, then this is something that we cannot give you a bracha for. Therefore, Yitzchak Avinu only could give a bracha for Esav, because only for physicality he could give a bracha. Therefore, when Yaakov is coming in with the food, the father asks him, "Mi atobni? Why do you deserve a bracha? How come you're coming in to steal the bracha of Esav?" Yaakov answers him, "Anoichi, I am the one that the children are going to accept the Anoichi Hashem Elokecha. The Ten Commandments start if Anoichi. Therefore, since they're going to accept the Ten Commandments, then comes out that all physicality of Esav really belongs to me. I deserve that physicality because I am actually saving that from the sea. Because if I do not accept the Torah, then everything, the whole world, all the brachas that you're going to give are going to be forfeited because the world is going to be destroyed. Therefore, I deserve apidin, the brachas. And once I deserve apidin, the brachas, therefore Yitzchak eventually says that you're right, Gam Baruch Yeh, that he deserves the brachas. But that is only when Akoil Kol Yaakov, only when the Jewish people are actually maintaining it, Yoimon V'Laylo, if they're learning in the Beis Medrash, if you hear people learning, then Akol Kol Yaakov. But if not, then Day Esav, then Yosef will come and Yosef will criticize for us getting the brachas. If we do not keep the Torah, then technically we don't deserve the brachas anymore. The brachas are like stolen from Esav. Therefore, Esav could come and complain, how come you have the brachas? According to this, we could answer what is written on the Medrash on chapter 27, Pasuk 35. There, after Esav comes to complain to Yitzchak that Yaakov is cheating him, Yitzchak says, Bo chicha b'mirma, your brother came with treachery, vayikach birchosecha, and he took your brachas, your blessings. Rashi brings down b'mirma. Rashi says, what's the translation of the word b'mirma? Rashi says, b'chochme, with wisdom. And the Medrash Rabbah actually adds to that, b'chochmas toirosoi, that he came with the wisdom of his Torah. Ve'ikach birchosecha, and he took your blessings, not the blessings. The Alshach explains, habracha amayuchedes lach, your bracha that was special for you, toivois ha'olam hazeh, the goodness of this world. That Yaakov Avinu, through his chachmas terasoi, through his wisdom of the Torah, what is the wisdom? Wisdom is that he is eventually going to get the Torah. That's why he was able to get birchascha, your personal bracha. In other words, he used the idea that since the Jewish people are eventually going to get the Torah, even though that he divided with him olam hazeh, olam haba, that was only until the time that the Jewish people get the Torah. Since Esav's children did not want to get the Torah, they forfeited at that point olam hazeh, because they're not accepting the Torah, then the world is fit to be destroyed. If not for the children of Yaakov, which accepted the Torah, and by them accepting the Torah, then they are entitled to take the physical world, because it's for them like saving from the sea. So by the wisdom of getting the Torah, that's how Yaakov was able to get your personal bracha of Olam Hazeh. And with that, Sefer Zichron Menachem answers another Medrash brought down in Or David. The Medrash says that Ilemole Loikiblu Yisrael HaTorah, if the Jewish people would not have accepted the Torah, Oya Kodesh Baruch Hu Soinel Ovoz B'Maras Achpela, Hashem would have hated our forefathers in Maras HaMachpela. And everybody is wondering what is pshat in this Medrash. But according to what we just mentioned, comes out that the only reason that Yaakov Avinu is not considered a thief for taking the brachas of Esav of physical goods, even though he had divided, if Esav, the world to come and this world, and technically this world belongs to Esav, then what is the reason that technically Yaakov is not considered a thief? The reason is because eventually the Jewish people are going to accept the Torah. If they accept the Torah, then legally they deserve the physicality. If they legally deserve the physicality, then we understand why Hashem is not angry at Yaakov Avinu. But if the Jewish people would not accept the Torah, then comes out retroactively Yaakov Avinu stole the brachas. If he stole the brachas, then Hashem would have hated the forefathers, meaning Yaakov, in the Maara Samach Pela, because the pasuk in Yeshaya Samach Aleph 61 says, "Ki Hashem oyev mishpat, Hashem loves justice, soine gazel bo'ola, Hashem hates thievery in oila." So you see from that Hashem hates thievery, and Hashem would have hated Yaakov had the Jewish people not accepted the Torah. And that's what the Medrash means by Or David, that if the Jewish people would have not accepted the Torah, Hashem would have hated the Avos, meaning Yaakov, in Me'ara Samach Pela. According to this, I wanted to say we could explain two different things. First, we could explain the interesting Balaturim on Parshas Ekev, which is Devarim chapter 7, Pasuk 12. There it says, "Vahayu Ekev Tishmon," it will be in reward that you hearken the Mishpatim Oela, these decrees. And the next Pasuk says, "Vehevcha," Hashem will love you, "Verachcha," will bless you, "Verbecha," will multiply you, "Uverach Privitnecha," will bless the fruit of your womb, "Friat Mosecha," the fruit of your land, "the Goncha," your wheat, "Vesiroishcha," your wine, "Vitzorecha," your oil, which seems to be all physical brachas. And all the Mefarshim asks a question. We have a rule cited in Kedushin, Daf Lamed Tes, Omed Beis, 39b, in the name of Rabbi Yaakov. Rabbi Yaakov says, "Schar mitzvah by high almaleka," that Hashem does not give rewards for mitzvahs in this world. Then the question is, how can we be promised all these rewards which are physical? And Rashi tries to explain here that when it says Ekev Tishmeun is the mitzvah that normally a person threshes with his feet, which Mefarshim explain that is the reward for going to shul or going to do mitzvahs, that the actual mitzvah, it stays for the world to come, but the reward that you took the effort to do the mitzvah, that you get in this world. Or Mefarshim explains that if you medakdek mitzvahs, if you are extra careful the mitzvah, that the mitzvah itself, the reward for it will stay for the world to come. But this extra care that you take, the extra happiness you do when you do mitzvahs, that you get reward in this world. But the Baal Turim here tells you, what is the word Ekev? Baal Turim says, Ekev Tevois Yesh Bayut Adibros Arishoinus. There is 172 words in the first commandment of Parsha Yisroi, and the word Ekev is numerical value 172. The Ayin is 70, the Kaf is 100, the Beis is 2, that's 172. And in the simple interpretation, you could say the Baal Turim just wants to tell you that if you keep the Ten Commandments, then Hashem will give you all these rewards. But now, according to what we just mentioned, we could say that the Baal Turim is actually coming to answer, how come we're getting a reward in the physical world? How come our reward is physicality? And we could say that the Baal Turim is trying to hint to us that the reason that we are going to receive physical reward in this world, even though the physical rewards belong to Esav, is because Ekev Tishmon, because we received the first Luchas. We said Nasa V'Nishma, where Esav did not accept the Luchas. The Esav did not accept the Ten Commandments, and the Ekev words of the first Ten Commandments is the reason why we are getting our physical reward. Since we received the Ten Commandments, then we actually maintain the world. Then, even though Esav was the one that was promised the physical reward, but now it's considered as if we saved it from the sea. Therefore, the only reason that we are able to get rewards in this world is because of Ekev, if we maintain the 172 words of the Ten Commandments, which Aesop spurned, that's the only reason that we are able to get rewards, physical rewards in this world. And the second thing I wanted to say is, when it says Vayodoy Oichezes Beakav Aesop, which says that Yaakov's hand is holding on the heels of Aesop, it means to say Beakav means later on, that Yaakov will have a hand even on the heels of Aesop, even on the physicality of Aesop, but he will have a hand because of Akev, because we accept the Ten Commandments, which it has 172 words, and therefore because of that we are going to have a hand in the physicality of Aesop, and that could be why Yaakov was called Yaakov, meaning Ya'akev, that in the future he will accept Akev. So it's hinting to Aesop even that in the future Yaakov is going to accept the 172 words of the commandments, and that will cause for him to be able to hold on to the heels of Aesop, to take away the physicality of Aesop. So Yaakov is for the future, that in the future he will accept the Akev, and therefore he has his hand on the heels of Aesop. And Hashem Yisburach should help that since we are now in Nikves et Mashiach, we are on the heels of Mashiach, that we should be Mekayim, it should be true, Vayodoy Ochezes Ba'akav Aesop, that we should be able to hold on in the heels of Aesop, which means that we should get all the physical benefits that was destined to Aesop, and we should also have our spirituality from the name Yaakov, from the Yud of Yaakov, which signifies Olam Haba, the world to come. And if we make sure that we keep the Ten Commandments, the Seis HaDibros, and we also keep Vegisa Boyom V'Laila, the covenant that's supposed to be learned day and night, then we should merit to have Moshiach come, Beis HaMikdash rebuilt, Mimheiro Beyomeinu, Amen.